I do count it a blessing to be here with you. This is my first trip here. I guess as far as that, as far, I said fur, sorry. As far as I'd ever been was there with Brother Mike Rhodes and them in Natchitoches, and I imagine that's a long ways from where we're at. But anyway, I have enjoyed being here with you. It is mixtures of joy and sorrow we daily do pass through. We all experience that, but I've got a thought on my mind this evening, and if the Lord would bless us for just a little while, I'll try to talk as fast as I can, and you listen as quick as you can, and be praying. In the Philippians, in the third chapter, in the first verse, it says, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord." I love that. Finally. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, "To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous." He says, "But for you, it's safe." You know, I've never been looking for anything new. There's no new thing under the sun, brethren. I'm not looking for anything new. The things that come around are the same stuff with different wrappers. You know, kids today, "Oh, we're wearing flares." I was like, "Yeah, I think my mom had some of them." Well, it's new. No, it's not new. There's no new thing under the sun. There is no temptation that is taking you but such as common. The stuff we face is not something magic bullet that faces us. It's not some big booger bear that gets after us. It's the same old stuff, folks. Maybe Brother James talking. I said, "You know," I said, "I got to hear Tony Dungy speak one time." I'm going to use a football reference. Y'all just bear with me for a second. You'll get it in a minute. He was coaching when the Immaculate Reception took place. Steelers. Yeah, Steelers, right? So Tony Dungy was coach. There was a fullback there that they all hated. That fullback is the guy that caught the reception, by the way. What was his name?
Right over here.
Okay, whoever it is. It doesn't matter. The point is what you learn. This guy, when they practiced, they could be on the 50-yard line. When he touched the ball, you know where he went to? The goal line. They're like, "Dude, we had to wait for him to go all the way down there, come all the way back, give us the ball, reset, run the next play." They're like, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm practicing scoring, coach. Practicing scoring." In college, you know what we done? We blocked and tackled every single day. The little things. You learn how to block. You learn how to tackle. There's nothing new. Oh, they can draw all kind of stuff on the board. That's all fine and good. At the end of the day, you got to block a guy and you got to tackle a guy, and that's how you win a game. We make stuff complicated, and all you got to do is hit somebody in the mouth. Physicality still wins football games today. Now, I'm not here to coach y'all in football, but what I want you to understand is how that transitions to life. This guy, he wasn't, everybody today wants to be extraordinary. Right now, I'm extraordinary. You know what he did? He done the ordinary every day. You want to be extraordinary in the house of God, you get real good at the ordinary. We got enough ordinary to be doing to keep us busy for the rest of our life. Feed the sheep. Preach the gospel. Pray for the saints. Visit the sick. Take care of the... I'm going to tell you, when everybody else starts doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's problems in every aspect of your life. When somebody else is raising your children and you're not involved with your children, there's a problem. When someone else is taking care of your family and you're not taking care of your family, there is a problem. That is not the pattern we have in Scripture. There's some basic fundamental things that we're instructed to do. I love it. Look at what he says. Let me go on and get this, and hopefully we'll tie all this together. That guy, by the way, when he caught that ball, one of the things you do is when the ball leaves the pocket, you go downfield to block. And he wasn't doing something. They called it the Immaculate Reception. He wasn't doing anything immaculate or crazy. He done it every day in practice. So when the ball was tipped up, guess what? He left the pocket. He was down there. Oh, there's the ball. Poop, kick. Went. Scores. Bam. And they're like, "This guy's great." No. No, he's just an ordinary guy. You know, we read Hebrews, and we think those guys are superheroes. We read Hebrews 11, and we're like, "Oh, man, there's some superheroes." He said, "We also are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses."
Yeah.
Brethren, we got some of them today. And it's not the guys that do it's the ones that just walk, trusting the Lord, step after step after step. It's not something major. It's not something, some new bullet. There's not something. It's just the same old, man. Just block and tackle. All you got to do is block and tackle. All you got to do is pray, brethren. All we got to do is seek His face. He's promised us that if we'll draw nigh to Him, that He'll draw nigh to us. We felt it, have we not? He's told us He'd meet with the saints in the midst of the church while I sing praises unto Thee. And He said, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. A good place to look for Him and a good place to draw nearer to Him is where the saints are gathered for the purpose of worshiping the Most High God. Because He promised us He would be there. Man, when we come here, there should be one thing. Here's some blocking and tackling to do. Here's some little things to do. Worship in spirit and in truth. Look at what He sets forth here. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it's safe. I used to think, man, how many times are we going to block and tackle? We block all day long, every day. This is crazy. We're doing the same thing, coach. You know what? He said, for me to write the same things to you, it's not grievous. You know why? We need to do it over and over and over. I need to hear it over and over and over. Early on in my ministry, I'll never forget this happened one time to me. Because I used to be really freaked out about preaching the same thing twice. I was like, ooh, I don't want to do that. No reruns. Now they got you recorded. I mean, people can hear everything. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, you preached that over there. Some of your brethren got good memories. They're like, hey, I remember you preached something on that about blah, 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 whatever. But the fact of the matter is this. He said to preach the same things to you, indeed, to me, it's not grievous. We need to hear the same things. I preached something one time, and a dear friend of mine came 2 weeks later and preached almost. Now, none of us would preach the exact same because it's all different. But he preached almost the same basic concept and used the same text that I used. And that dear sister whom I love dearly, she came up to me and she said, isn't that the greatest thing you've ever heard? I said, it sure was, sister. I'm telling you. You know what? I was a little offended at first because I was like, where was you? 2 weeks ago I saw you. And you were sitting right there. I preached the same thing. But it wasn't great then. It's great today. You see, we must decrease. It's not about us. It's not about us. He said, for me to preach the same thing to you, it's not grievous. But for you, it's safe. Man, I like safe. I'm going to tell you, I'm probably one of those guys. I like safe a lot more than I like anything else. I'm not going to teeter close to anything on the edge. Don't like none of them things. If something comes and it don't have an exact right sound, I'm not even going to get close to it. I'm saying, see you, pal. Isn't it amazing, brethren? I want you to understand this. I'm making this point, but I want you to understand one of the things that concerns me. When you think about these, I love this, the gifts that are given to the church, okay? You know, ministers, they can serve all kind of different churches, right? I've served. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess 5 churches in my short little life thus far. I think that's right. Somewhere in there. Anyway, I'm not taking time to count them. We don't have time for that. But the fact of the matter is, I've served. But have you ever seen a church that you've been to, you attended, and you said, man, that's a good church. I went there and I felt the presence of the Lord. God made Himself manifest. We rejoiced with the saints of God and we felt His presence. And then something happens to that pastor. And the next thing you know, the wolves encircle the camp. He said, choose you out among yourselves 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, brethren, the job of standing ain't just for us old ministers either. You deacons, brethren, I'm going to tell you, Paul said, you follow me as long as I follow the Lord. If I quit following the Lord, you quit following me. I can tell you, I can remember growing up, and I used to think, man, did my grandfather have it easier than I did? Because it just didn't seem like. But you know, when I was coming up as a kid, I didn't worry about my grandfather. Son, I had a great uncle. He'd come up, he said, son, you live like that. If you want to, you can't live with us. I mean, he didn't cut any corners about it. It was, you know, I'm Brother Robin said right there. He didn't cut any corners about it. There was some accountability. There were some things he expected. I'm going to tell you, brethren, there's all kinds of things, but the fact of the matter is we're all in charge of making sure. Now, yeah, the ministry, don't get me wrong. We're responsible for feeding the flock. But I'm going to tell you, there's times where you may be without a pastor. Need to hold mystery of faith and pure conscience. Times you're without a pastor, you need to know what the truth is. There'll be times you're without a pastor, you need to know how to lead and guide and help encourage the brethren along that road, because it's a dangerous road. And to do those things, it's some same things. The same things. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. You know how you tell the difference between a wolf and a wolf and a wolf in sheep's clothing and a sheep? Just look at the tracks. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now get this. And have no confidence in the flesh. If I had no other text than this one, it would help me figure out 8 and 28. You got to mess up pretty hard to mess that one up. I mean, you got to try really hard to mess that up. Yeah. Oh, all things work. Look, brethren. The spirit warreth against the flesh. The flesh against the spirit. These two are contrary. They're not working together. I mean, that's not hard to figure out, brother. That's not, this old flesh don't work for my good. And that's why he tells us here, if you put confidence in the flesh, brethren, then I'm going to tell you you're setting yourself up for failure. We're to walk according to faith. We're to walk in faith. That's the easy thing to say, hard thing to do. Walk by the Spirit. Follow the leadership of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The simplicity. There is a simplicity in this gospel that I love. Now, the point I want to get to is this. When you look at this simplicity, I'm a simple-minded guy. I mean, I approach things from a very just, and you know what the most amazing thing is? I told somebody one time, I said, I know for a fact that creation is true, because I've cleaned an awful lot of critters in my day, and they all got the same fella that made them, because they're all very similar. I mean, think about it. You cleaned a hog? Yeah. You look at a hog, you look at a cow, you look at a deer. Guess what? They all got the same function. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, same fella made them, made us. Yeah, it's amazing how that works. He spoke this world into existence, brethren. That is amazing. And you see patterns that take place. One of the patterns I want to show you is this. Over in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. All right, I want you to hold on to that one. In the beginning, God. I'm going to tell you what about everything you got good in your life starts off that way. Everything you've got is worth anything in the beginning, God. Anything you've got. In the beginning, God. In John, in the first chapter, here's some simplicity for you. We mess things up, but in John, in the first chapter, about verse 44 is what I'm looking for. I'm going to start in 43. The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. So here we got the picture. The Lord comes. He finds in the Galilee. He findeth Philip. He says, follow me. Philip was with Bethsaida and Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, the day before, the Lord found him. And then he goes and tells somebody, I found the Lord. People getting confused about that for a long time, apparently. The day following, Jesus go forth Galilee, he findeth Philip. He said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. He findeth Nathanael, and he said to him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no God. Now, I want you to watch what takes place here, because there is a simple concept and a pattern that you just kind of picked up on one piece of it that's going to be set forth, and I'll tell you, you're going to find this pattern throughout the Scriptures. It's amazing. Jesus saw Nathanael come to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom Nathanael said to him, whence knowest thou me? He said, how do you know me? You see, Nathanael posed the question, how do you know me? Jesus answered to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art King of... Now, I don't know what conversation them brethren had under that fig tree, but I'm going to tell you, Nathanael knew it. Nathanael knew it, and the Lord knew it. It didn't matter if anybody else knew it. There was something that took place between those two individuals. But Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" He said, "I saw you already." That's a pretty good little concept there. You know, the Lord always precedes life. In the beginning, God. Now, I want to go back over. I'm not re-preaching anything, but I want to go catch this because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. When you go over and you look at Scripture, a whole point is made on the addition of one little bitty letter. He said, "With the promise made to Abraham, and his seed is in one, not seeds as in many." I saw a little word, a three-letter word, earlier today, and it just reached out and grabbed me, and I couldn't turn loose of it. And my mind immediately went to this thought right here of what took place right here in John. But I want to go back over here, and I want us to take a look in Ruth. There's a little three-letter word that just reached off the page and grabbed me. When you go back over here, Naomi and Ruth, they had kinsmen of her husband, a mighty man. Let me see. And Ruth the Moabitess, this is Ruth 2 and 2, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and clean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. She happened to.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just by happenstance, huh? That's where the root of happenstance comes from, this word hap.
Right.
Now, when you go on through there, what you're going to find is Ruth wants to know who Boaz is, but you know what? Boaz already knew Ruth. Boaz knew exactly who Ruth was when he saw her out there. He knew who she was. She'd already heard of her. I got news for you, brethren. One of the greatest simple truths that we have in God's Word is our faithful husband, just like Boaz, he already knew you. He already knew you. At some point in time, you might be under a fig tree. You may be found in a field gleaning. But I'm going to tell you, our faithful husband's going to visit. And when he visits, you're going to know who he is. But praise God, whether you do or don't, he already knows who you are. He says, "Now that you've known God," or rather, "are known of God." Ha, that's good stuff, brethren. You see, Boaz knew exactly who Ruth was. Ruth didn't know who Boaz was till somebody told her exactly who that was. And it was her hap to wind up in the field. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, it's been my hap to wind up in the field of my faithful husband. And I'm thankful for the handfuls of purpose that he's left for us while we live in this old low ground of sin and sorrow. But I know a pretty good place to find it is where my father's brethren are gathered. And I'm going to tell you that when we come and it's our hap to be found gleaning in his field, and we leave rejoicing with our baskets full, we'll always know that the reason it is because the day before, the Lord visited us. Earlier, previously, y'all get the point I'm making. It's not that we know him, but that he knows us, brethren. And he's known us and set his love and affection on us from before the foundation of the world. That is a simplistic truth that we need to be reminded of again and again. We need to be grounded and settled in the truth. We need to be built up in that grace. We need to be strong in that truth. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, earlier today when I saw it was her hap to fall in that field, she didn't even have no idea whose field she was in. But when Boaz saw her, he knew her. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord looks upon us with love, redeeming us from the fact that we were enemies, we were dead, the reason he done it, because he's already looked on you, he already knew you, he already set his love on you, and that's a blessed truth we can hang on to. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.